Welcome back to another Edge God In podcast. Thank you for pushing the pause button today to edge God in to your mind, your will, your emotions. Believe it or not, my brothers and sisters in Christ, it is not about us. It is all about being an ambassador to our commanding officer. It's all about that experience of surrender. Jesus, I surrender myself to you. You take care of everything. Today's title is The Secret to Success. Ooh, how do you define success? How do you know when you're being successful? What does that look like for you? How do you know when someone else is successful? What is the criteria that you use to conclude that someone is successful? These are all pre-coaching questions to today's topic. So rewind and listen to those questions. If you're in a position to answer them, that will give you some insight as we're moving forward in our conversation around the secret to success. The learning objective is you will actually learn an acronym that offers you the invitation to follow Jesus' lead for success in life. He nailed it. Just saying. Name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Sweet Jesus, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight today for the edification of every human being that is listening in to today's podcast. Give us the grace of attentiveness. Bump us and help us to camp on pieces of information, perhaps a scripture, a phrase, a reminder that guides us back to our first love. Forgive us, Lord. We have wandered, following the shiny object, the drug of approval, the disease to please. Our identity has been hijacked many times by the passing distraction in front of us. Give us the grace to focus on you, to fix our eyes on you. You are the author and perfecter of our faith. In your most precious name we pray. Amen. In the name of Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I am moved to put this podcast together after being personally incredibly inspired. In fact, I felt like I was having a revival in my kitchen the other night when I was listening to some awesome preaching by Pastor Mike from the Transformation Church. This link was passed on from a dear friend and colleague of mine. And I had a quiet evening for about an hour and a half. It's about an hour and a half long to lean into this particular message that the Holy Spirit had placed on his heart to get out there. I believe that it is an extremely timely and newsworthy, those were phrases I used back in the journalism days, topic, which is why I'm putting together kind of the cliff notes of that hour and a half sermon that Pastor Mike gave from the Transformation Church. I encourage you to listen to the whole thing. It's called Bamboozled by the Blessing. You can get it on YouTube, Bamboozled by the Blessing. I'm going to give you the Cliff Note version for today. First and foremost, I'd like to just talk a little bit about distraction. What's distracting you from consistently seeking God in your life? What is it that pulls you away from sitting at the feet of the Savior, your Savior, my Savior? Just as Mary did while Martha was bustling about with all the details. Not to say that that wasn't important. Jesus didn't say, Martha, Martha, what you're focusing on has absolutely no value. Mary's focusing on what does have value. No, Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you were worried and upset about many things. When we're bustling about in the chaos and rush of life, we often get distracted. by the non-essential or the shiny objects, as I often say. Jesus is calling us back to fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. He's calling us back to having an undivided heart. He's calling us back to silence, being still, so that we can hear the still small whisper of God saying, this is the way, walk in it. This is the intonation I want you to use in this conversation. These are the words that I want you to speak. In order for us to have discernment, it is essential that we practice the pause in life. Distractions, and this was a point that Pastor Mike made, distractions jeopardize discernment. As distractions go up in life, your ability to discern goes down. Just think of your last week. Sometimes life is coming at you so hard and so fast. It's like when someone takes a hose and just starts spraying it at you. You can't even see straight. And yet you keep moving forward. So this is an invitation today to stop, slow down, listen to the voice of God, observe what's going on, and then pick your path. Discernment is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And in order to access that, you and I have an invitation to reduce the distractions in life. I'll often start out the podcast and invite you to be attentive to grab three pieces of information, content from this podcast, three pieces of information that you want to transfer. So as I continue to teach on this today, ask the Holy Spirit, be attentive. What are you going to take from today? If you've got a sticky note, write it down. Review it within 48 hours, two times, and you up your ability to remember it up to 85 to 90%. When you actually implement it into teaching another person about it, that even goes higher. So look for your three things. Distraction jeopardizes discernment. The more distracted you are, the less you're able to discern situations. Now, Pastor Mike started out really talking about not letting the blessing override deception. This is a little piece of information that I thought was profound. Have you ever in your life allowed the blessing to override deception? Don't let the blessing override deception, meaning this. You get blessed. Something comes along and you see it as an opportunity. So you jump on it and you're like, wow, God must be blessing me here. I totally feel that this is the direction I should go in. So you start focusing on that blessing. I'm going to get this blessing. God, thank you for this opportunity. I could see it in front of me. And then deception, if you're focusing on the blessing rather than the one who provides the blessing, deception slithers in. No shocker there. It happened in the garden. Here, Adam and Eve have access to everything in the garden, except for this one tree. Satan slithers in and plants a seed of doubt to God's character. Did God really say that? No, no, no. He just doesn't want you to know good from evil. So here's something out there. This would be a blessing for you. Go for it. Their discernment was compromised because they were focused on the blessing and the thought of, that'd be nice to know good from evil. So what is it for you in your timeline? Pastor Mike shared a story of how he wanted these specific sneakers. Like he just totally wanted these sneakers and certain sneakers, and I'm from the East Coast, that's why I'm calling sneakers. Certain sneakers are very expensive. And so he, rather than $900, someone was selling them on the internet for like 300 or something like that. So he scraped up every single cent he had, and he put it in with one of his friends. They both wanted to get a pair of these specific shoes, these sneakers. They sent in their check. Months went by, weeks went by, months went by, nothing, crickets. They tried to reach out to the seller. They were scammed. Focused on the blessing blocked their ability to discern deception. Personally, I was definitely hijacked by a blessing. I don't know, about 20 years ago, there was a financial opportunity that someone had presented to me that I thought, oh my gosh, I can make that much money coming back from that. Well, God knows I need a lot of money right now. I'm going through cancer and divorce, and this might be great. This might be a great opportunity. So I invested quite a bit of money that turned in something that turned out to be deception, a Ponzi scheme. I was deceived because I was focused on the blessing rather than discerning before God. Is this something you want me to do? Is this from you? And oftentimes it is from God in different situations. You are blessed. You're blessed with a promotion, let's say. You're blessed with given the opportunity to go on a trip that you don't have to pay for. There are many different expressions of blessings that God uses in our lives. The key thing is not to take our eyes off of Jesus, the giver of the blessing, God, the giver of the blessing, and focus on the blessing itself, because that's when deception can happen. Don't tie your identity to the blessing. As Pastor Mike said, do not tie your identity to the blessing. I'm a CEO. I was blessed by this. I got a promotion. I was blessed by that. So it's very easy to spill out your sense of identity into the blessings that God has given you. This is such an incredible invitation to go inside the castle, pull up the drawbridge before God and say, dear God, show me where I am giving too much attention to the blessings in my life. And they've actually hijacked some of my identity, and along with it, my discernment. So I am vulnerable to deception. Be attentive to God's guidance when you are blessed in life. Pastor Mike also talked about a backside of a blessing. So what happens when you do take your eyes off of Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith, and you start to focus on the blessing? Wow, God, I can't believe that this is happening to me. And this is unbelievable. So you start to really, your identity starts to get puffed up by the blessing. So Pastor Mike talked about three things that I thought were very, very valuable to remember as followers of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. One, what happens, the backside of blessing, and that meaning that's when his title was bamboozled by the blessing. Bamboozled means you're just hijacked in there, totally mesmerized by the blessing. What can happen are three elements that make up pride. The first one is independence. You walk away from God. Hey, I'm financially secure right now. So I've got to take care of these things first in the morning. I don't have time to sit before God, even 10 minutes or 20 minutes or a half an hour. I remember Mother Teresa said that when things get even more difficult, she doubles her time in prayer. When there are more demands on her in her ministry in India, she would double her time in prayer. That's always stuck with me. Do you double your time in prayer when the pressures in the outside world start to press in? Do you press into Jesus, or do you press into those demands? The backside of blessing is independence. You become independent. You walk away from God. You follow the shiny objects. Things become more important, and you basically say, hey, I've got this, kind of like the Adam and Eve syndrome. Hey, I want to know good from evil. That makes me even more independent. What happened with Satan? He fell because of pride. I want more. I got this. Be very careful of the serpent of pride that whispers into your ear, you've got this. You can do this. And so that spills out into your behavior to where you're giving your time, your energy, and your attention to everything but God. And we come up with all kinds of excuses. Well, I have to do this to really, claim and own the blessing that God's given me. I want to be a good steward. I want to definitely be a good steward. So I need to spend more time, with all of the details around this blessing. So the blessing actually hijacks you. Independence from God comes before a fall. The second backside of a blessing is identity. When God blesses us, we tie our identity to it easily. Think about your life. Think about a time when something just fell in your lap. God blessed the work of your hands. He did the prayer Jabez on your behalf. Oh Lord, that you would bless me indeed, that you would expand my territory, that your hand would be upon me, that I would not cause harm. God answers that prayer. He blesses you indeed. He expands your territory. And then your focus shifts from the giver of the blessing to the blessing itself, and your identity gets hijacked. Perhaps those were some thoughts from Eve when the serpent was talking to her. Well, that looks like good fruit. And that's an incredible opportunity. So maybe God didn't really mean that. He meant this. Deception. Be very careful, because when you're focusing on the blessing, deception can slither in. The third backside of a blessing is entitlement. There was a study that I read one time called the Corner Office Study. And what they found was that people that get the corner office, high executive positions, their testosterone levels are higher, which directly impact their behavior. Along with the increased testosterone, they have, in this specific study, they noticed and gathered information that these particular individuals were less approachable, would intimidate by busyness, demand, knowledge, or passion. The corner office syndrome can hit any of us, and it leads to that sense of entitlement. Hey, I'm the CEO. You got to do this for me, rather than the servant mindset of a leader. The only reason why I'm here is because God placed me in this seat in life. It's the only reason why I'm here. Billy Graham, before he passed, was noted as saying four words: it is all him. It was all him. It was all him. John, the disciple, was historically noted that before, he's the disciple that actually lived to 100, I think even past 100. All the other disciples were killed for their faith. John, the disciple, was not. And there has been noted, and some historians have said, that some of his final words that he would say is love one another. Love one another. Interestingly, the verse, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. The only thing that counts. With the blessings in your life, are you losing focus on the giver of the blessing? And is there any shred of entitlement? Entitlement is a slippery little serpent, my friends. It can, and it usually manifests in an attitude. And it hits you like poop through a goose, as my grandfather would say. You're fine until someone questions or pushes against you and your position. then entitlement takes center stage. So keep watch. Watch out for the distractions. So we have the three backsides of a blessing, independence, identity, entitlement. As Pastor Mike said, this is like a formula. Independence plus identity plus entitlement equals pride. Pride comes before a fall. Let's stay awake. Be very careful not to be distracted by the shiny objects, as I'll often say, like encouragement, praise, honor, invitation to a seat at the table. As Jesus said, take the least comfortable seat when you were invited. Then the leader or head host can invite you to a higher seat. Take the least of the seats. Now, let's shift our focus a little bit here to Jesus. What do we know? What was Jesus' secret to success in life? What was his focus? The secret to success was not status. In the kingdom that Jesus was talking about, service is the secret to success. True greatness walks through the archway of humility, service. So stick with me on this, because this is not a popular title. Serving one another. I bought a little book recently that has a bunch of different verses in it. It's kind of my little bathroom book. So every time I happen to use the bathroom, I'll go in and read a couple scriptures. Look for opportunities to listen to what God says over what the world is saying. So I noticed in this book that they have tons of different topics. They don't have service in there as a topic, which I thought was very interesting, because that is the very message that Jesus laid out to his disciples. Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man did not come to serve, to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Matthew 23:11, the greatest among you shall be your servant. Luke 6:38, given it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaking over, running into your lap, for the measure you use to serve others will be measured back to you. Mark 9:35, and he sat down and called the 12, and he said to them, if anyone wants to be first, if you want to succeed in life, you can plug that in. If you want to be known as great in life and make an impact, you must be the servant of all and be the last. If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all. What? Not in our society. Are you kidding me? It's all about popularity, positions, passions, possessions, which is why before we began this podcast, I ask you to pause and answer this question. How do you define success? Success is subjective. You ask Mother Teresa how she defines success. And she might say something like seeing and recognizing the presence of Christ in the suffering. What's your definition of success? How do you know when someone's successful? Mark 9:35, he sat down and called the 12. Whoever wants to be the first must be the last and the servant of all. That's success, my friends. Humility. John 13:1-7, when he finished washing their feet, in fact, this is your homework. Look up in John chapter 13 and meditate on, ask the Holy Spirit to guide you. What do you want me to remember in this teaching here? Because this is one of the most profound teachings that Jesus did and offered. It's a transitioning of leadership to his disciples. This is how you lead. You lead by serving first, loving first, then leading. When he had finished washing their feet, He put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I've done for you? Jesus asked them. Can you imagine? These are the hands that raised the dead, gave sight to the blind, cast out demons. And he washes his disciples' feet. He obviously is sensitive to the fact that his disciples must have been like, what the heck? What are you doing? Just as Peter did. You'll never wash my feet. And Jesus is like, well, then you don't have any place in the kingdom. Well, then in that case, wash my face and my head. You got to love Peter's passion. This is a profound invitation that Jesus is giving us here. This is the secret to success. Do you understand what I've done for you? Jesus says, you call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet. You also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, whenever he says very truly or truly, truly, that's an invitation. Hey, lean in, press in, my friends. John 13, verse 16, very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed. There's the blessing. If you do that, do it, do these things. Blessings come through the archway of service. How well are you serving today? Are you a servant? Lord, I don't want to go anywhere. I don't want to talk to anyone. I don't want to say any word unless you inspire me to say it. I will be anyone. I will go anywhere, whatever you want me to do. That's what I want to do. Place your desires on my heart. That ultimate surrender. That's what Jesus is inviting us to embrace. That ultimate surrender of a servant's heart, to be a servant. Now, as I mentioned, the sermon by Pastor Mike, Bamboozled by the Blessing, he shared an acronym, which was part of our learning objective for today. So I'm going to share that acronym to you. And as I said, this is just the cliff notes of an hour and a half sermon. My personal takeaways to give you a taste of what it's like. If you want more, please check it out. It's phenomenal. Bamboozled by the Blessing by Pastor Mike. It's a game changer. So the seven steps to kingdom service. Service, the acronym service. The first one is S, be submitted. God allows you to stand in a position, not because of anything you're doing, but because of a state of surrendered acumen. Lord, I am nothing without you. If there's any good that you desire to say through me today, then I give you more authority than any of my worldly, mindly, self-centered interruptions. S stands for be submitted. E stands for excellence. When you are submitted, Lord, you show me where you want me to go. Am I serving? When you do serve another human being, are you serving from a place of excellence? Or are you just kind of half serving? Oh yeah, I'll do this. But if someone pushes back or asks for even more, then you're like, no, I didn't sign up for that. Jesus says, hey, someone asked for your cloak, your tunic, give it to him. So he's talking about that ultimate surrendered place. And we're not talking about enabling. We're not talking about defying wisdom and discernment. We're talking about when God has placed you in a seat to serve another human being, then serve with excellence. The R in service stands for reputable. What does it mean to be reputable? It means that people know who you stand for. David as a little boy. Yeah, he's out and working with the sheep. And God's eyes were fixed on David. Why? Because he did what he did with excellence and humility. He was the best shepherd there could possibly be. He watched over his sheep. and he trusted in God. So wherever God has placed you today, do it with excellence and service. Be submitted. Do it with excellence and be reputable. That means live in integrity. Dear God, make me a woman of good reputation. Ask for it. So that when they see your good works, they may glorify God. Do what you do as if working for the Lord and not for man. V, versed. So we're spelling out the acronym, servant. V, versed. What does versed mean? Versed means that you're experienced or skilled, knowledgeable about something specifically. Are you knowledgeable, skilled, versed in the scriptures? In the holy presence of God. Because if you are, then you will be multidimensional, as Pastor Mike says. That means you'll be able to do a ton of things. David didn't just take care of sheep. He also had an eagle eye and took out a giant. He also was able to make music, stringed instruments to the Lord. Be well-versed. Basically, as Pastor Mike said, he used the example of a Swiss Army knife. Be a Swiss Army knife. Hey, Lord, you want me to be a knife today? I'll be a knife. You want me to be a spoon? You want me to be a screwdriver? You want me to be this? You want me to be that? All in one. Be ready to go. Be prepared. Allow God to guide you beyond your own personal limitations. Be humble enough to go anywhere. Wherever you put me, Lord, I will go. You want me to go here? I'll go here. You want me to talk to this person? I'll talk to this person. You don't want me to talk to that person? I won't talk to that person. You want me to let this go? I'm going to let this go. Be versed. And again, it's actually the acronym is service, service. The I stands for invested. The S stands for submitted. The I stands for invested. The C stands for covered. And the E stands for equipped. So when you are invested, the definition of invested means you devote your time, energy, and effort to a particular undertaking with the expectation of a worthwhile result. Are you invested, my brothers and sisters in Christ, in your relationship with the lover of your soul? In Revelations, hey, you're doing a great job here, doing a great job there. And this one thing I have against you, you've forsaken your first love. Come back and do the things you did at first. What do you do? What did you do at first? I remember when I first accepted Christ, I think I sent like a note to almost every one of my major family members about Jesus. When you're in love with someone, you want to talk about them all the time. That's invested. You're devoting your time and energy and effort to a particular undertaking with the expectation of a worthwhile result. Hey, I just realized that Jesus saved me. He opened up heaven for me. He died for my sins. I can't keep this to myself. I got to share this. Be invested. Allow God to love on you so that you can love better the people entrusted to your care. Covered in God's grace, covered in his mercy, and equipped. Service equips you. It equips you to go where God wants you to go. The season of service equips you for your seat. And that's a quote from Pastor Mike. The season of service equips you for your seat at the table where God is calling you. The seat comes from serving. We are here for service. That is success. Jesus modeled it. He transferred it. And he calls you and I to it every single day. We are here to serve. Serve your anointing in order to receive it, was another quote from Pastor Mike. Serve your anointing in order to receive it. A good server has to be a good waiter. Do you wait upon the Lord? Wait upon the Lord. Show me how you want me to serve today. I want to share with you a few insights on service. Mother Teresa spoke quite a bit about family and serving your family and the invitation to allow Jesus to come through your service to your family. Are you serving the people in your household? How specifically are you making God recognizable to them today? Because Satan's after the family, my friends. Divide and conquer. The devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And his strategy is separation. His tactic is offense. How to resolve that? Service and love. Service and love. Love covers a multitude of sins. Are you submitted? What does that look like with your behavior with God? How are you living out your daily life to make God recognizable? Where is your excellence? Are you serving in a way where there is excellence? You want me to go here? I'll go here. I'll go there. Oh, you need something else? Sure. I'll help you with that. I know I only signed up for this, but I can see that there's a need here. So I'll help you with that as well. Your reputation. Ask God to make you a man, a woman of good reputation. Be reputable. Be versed. Hey, I'll do anything. Swiss Army knife. You want me to go here? I'll go here. You want me to serve you washing dishes? I'll serve you washing dishes. You want me to serve you doing laundry? I'll do everything as if I'm doing it for you and not myself. I'll serve you doing laundry. Do you want me to serve you leading this board of directors meeting? Then I'm going to serve you leading this board of directors meeting. Do you want me to serve you loving my husband, loving my wife, loving my children? I'm going to serve you well. You want me to go here? I'll go there. I'll do this. I'll be whatever you want me to be. That's versed. Are you invested? Do you devote your time, energy, and effort to the undertaking of following God and loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength? Because this, my friends, is a worthwhile pursuit, because you know it's going to be a worthwhile result. Are you covered? Do you spend time beginning in your day to be covered by the grace of God? And are you equipped? In service, the season of service equips you for your seat. The seat comes when we are here for service. All we're doing here, simply put, is carrying forward exactly what Jesus modeled when he washed his servants' feet. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you go out and wash each other's feet. Do you understand what I've done for you? He asks. Do you understand what I've done for you? Then go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. Our topic on service today, take it to heart. Bring it before the Lord. Dear God, we give you permission to show us where we are not serving well, where we are serving our own self-images, our own reputation, our own brand. Protect us from compliments and complaints so that our hearts can stay grounded in the mission for which it beats, which is you. Give us the grace to serve a servant's heart as you modeled for us. Lord, we're sorry for the times when we just overlook one of the most powerful invitations and transferring of guidance as a leader, because we're tied up in what we're doing, what we're thinking, where we're going, who's with us, who's not with us. We're here to serve you first and foremost, and then to serve the people around us. So what's our give back project today, Lord? Give us the opportunity to see people for who they desire to be rather than how their behavior shows up. Move us to do those acts of kindness without the need to be acknowledged and recognized, knowing that you see all, that true greatness walks through the archway of humility and service. Help us to seek out every single day our give back project for you, for your glory. Give us the grace to serve more today than yesterday, knowing that that will keep us humble when the blessings do come. We'll be able to continue to override deception because we're not distracted, but we are committed. We are submitted. We are vested in serving you alone. We love you, Lord. Thank you for loving us and for modeling what success looks like for us. We've strayed. Bring us back to the simple behavior of service. Help us to submit to you, to do our service with excellence. Give us a good reputation, Lord, so that when people see us, they see you, and help us to be versed, multi-skilled, so that we can go wherever you want us to go. Give us the grace of being invested to devote our time, energy, and effort to you, to be covered by your grace, equipped for the season of service, so that you can take us to the seat that you have prepared in advance for us to sit in. Protect us from our own ego, edging you out. Give us the grace to invite you in. In your most precious name we pray, amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right, my brothers and sisters in Christ, we're about to enter Thanksgiving week. It's an opportunity to be thankful. It's an opportunity to serve. Look for those opportunities to serve well the people entrusted to your care. You can reach us on Edge God In for more podcasts at edgegodin.com. You can also subscribe. You can also visit us on our Facebook page, Edge God In. And we have a recent launch. I invite you to explore emotional intelligence in Christ. You can see what that project looks like and participate in an upcoming course that we're putting forth at emotionalintelligenceinchrist.com, emotionalintelligenceinchrist.com. Have a very blessed Thanksgiving and enjoy your gift of life today. Give them heaven. There's enough of the dark side out there.